Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor with Stone Payton here at ASTD 2014 and beautiful Washington, D.C. Stone, hashtag ASTD 2014.
Hey, this is going to be a fun segment. We have with us Director of Training Customer Excellence with Thermo Fisher Scientific. Please join me in welcoming to the show Mr. Michael Costello. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Well, now, we're delighted to have you, but did you eat lunch before you came, or are you going to do lunch after?
I just ate lunch.
So you just fought through that whole crowd.
I did.
So now, are you training customer excellence, or are you just training in general, and you want customer excellence as the outcome?
Customer experience, customer service training is primarily the focus.
So now, what have you learned? What are some of the high points? Customer experience, what do you guys, how are you making that happen?
We're training our employees to, make a difference with customers, to, not be internally focused, but to look on the outside and consider the customer in all their interactions.
So is a lot of that still that kind of training? Does it really lend itself more to instructor-led? Are you able to do more and more of that with the advent of technology, e-learning, and using different platforms?
I'm happy to say we're doing a lot of both. And I don't think one or the other is enough. I think you need to embrace both.
Now, at Thermo Fisher Scientific, are you dealing mostly with kind of engineering science people or actual, people?
We have people and we have engineering people. Our customer service programs, we start with baseline programs, so looking at entry-level roles like customer service, and we build programs that work up to some pretty advanced service providers. If you think of, some of the scientific equipment that we sell in service, we have people on site that are, servicing instruments that are pretty high price point, pretty
complex,
highly technical,
right?
And complex, right?
So now, is the training different when you're the person you're training is super smart and technical, as opposed to somebody who isn't as technical?
The content may or may not be different. Usually, the content's pretty much the same, but the delivery oftentimes needs to be different. There are some roles that you hire for technical skills first.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of people out there that have the ability to do what some of these people do. Other roles, maybe some of our frontline roles, we can hire, a quote-unquote people person and teach them what they need to know to function in that job.
Now, in e-learning and mobile learning, as you began to implement more and more, did anything surprise you? Did some challenges arise that you just really didn't anticipate?
Well, I'd like to say that we're doing a lot of mobile learning. So I think I'm still, and our organization's still on the learning curve as far as the mobile learning part goes.
Mm-hmm.
I think, definitely some surprises in terms of what you need to, how you need to look at that differently as you design for mobile and design it differently so that it can be viewed on, handheld devices versus, computer screens.
You can't just take your regular e-learning and just slap it on a mobile device. That's not going to...
And shrink it.
Right.
Shrink it down.
Yeah, sometimes sometimes you can get lucky depending upon what the content looks like, but most often you're right, you can't just present that on a mobile platform.
Now, do you have any issues regarding kind of the older generation being less embracing of this technology and the younger generation wanting the technology?
I wouldn't say so much the older generation not embracing it, but there's a demand and an expectation from the younger generation that you will have it available on those platforms.
Now, what is your backstory? How did you get involved in this line of work? How did you land to where you are now?
I've been doing training and development for probably 15 plus years, just started as a guest speaker in a training class one day. Can you come in here and show them how you do, function X, Y, and Z? And, I came in and right away felt a passion for, my next question after the presentation was, how do I get in the training
class? Can I do this again?
I want to keep playing.
Right. So for me, it's, probably the first 6 or 7 years was just a lot of classroom delivery of training. So I'm a trainer slash facilitator first. Really thousands of hours in the classroom delivering training programs, traditional classroom style. To supplement that, I went and earned a master's degree with a real focus on e-learning, so that I had the design and development as well as e-learning capabilities.
You got a master's degree with focus on e-learning. That's how important and how...
That's right. It was instructional design master's, but my choices are always leaning towards e-learning delivery.
Now, was all of this done at Thermo Fisher Scientific, or you worked somewhere else?
I worked somewhere else. I originally worked at Delta Airlines for about 15 years. So I'm sure you guys are all Atlanta-based, right? Well,
that's how we got here.
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time.
Hope your training was solid, because that's how we're getting back to.
great place to develop training skills. Delta, historically, and I'm sure still today, I haven't been there for a while, but very committed to developing employees, to hiring from within and hiring their own. So, that's where I did those thousands of hours of classroom training. I had a couple of years in healthcare, and I've been at Thermo Fisher now for about 6 years. So.
Now, is there any challenges of going from, in front of the room to on a little device like that? Like you can't use the same skills in front of the room that you do in e-learning, right?
Right. It's, I guess there are certain skills that carry over, but it's a different challenge.
Right, because I would think you can get away with your strength of your personality and your presence in a room, and now, in front of slides and stuff, that's a different...
Right, plus your feedback that you have with the learner.
Right, and you're looking at them in the eye, and you can tell when they're fading and all that stuff.
Exactly right. I developed an e-learning course, one of the first ones I ever did. I was reviewing it myself over the weekend, getting ready to launch this program, and I fell asleep watching it, sitting on my couch.
That's not good.
That would be a red flag to me.
Yeah, exactly. And really, my own learning experience, that's where I kind of discovered that what worked for me when I developed classroom training programs probably was going to be different for e-learning programs.
So measurement, easier, harder, just different, easier to document, like compliance-oriented stuff, the whole measurement side of this thing, what is it like now as e-learning and all this other stuff seems to be coming to the forefront?
Yeah, e-learning's a really wonderful tool for measuring compliance. Who took the training? It's reports are at your fingertips. They can be sent out to leadership who can make it happen.
Keep you out of court. Everybody's been through the sexual harassment thing. You just easily check that box, right?
That's right. That's right. And I don't need a staff of, administrative people to update and keep the records for me. We just have to have, that in place, that kind of the reporting function in place. So it's great for that kind of measurement. In terms of measuring, results of training, e-learning classroom training is probably all the same challenge. Are you getting to behavior change, as a result of the modules that you're delivering?
Now, do you use kind of a blended approach where you can have somebody in front of a classroom and use some of the tools where they can, like, maybe digitally ask questions or polls or things like that, so where you can combine some of the technology with some of the face-to-face stuff?
We combine some programs with elements of e-learning and elements of classroom learning to build a build to a certification type. But as far as I'm not sure that answered your question though. We don't have classroom training that's currently integrated with some of the social type of applications. I'd like to get to that. I'm not sure. Was that what you were
asking?
You can
dream, Michael. You can dream.
Yeah.
Let go of that dream.
Let your participants respond with hashtags and
well, that way you can poll, and that way they can see, they don't get this, or they do understand this. They can anonymously give you feedback.
Right. Well, the tool that we're learning where we can use that kind of capability is virtual. Virtual learning, virtual instructor-led training. So we're doing quite a bit of that as well. So it's live sessions, facilitator-led, but it's done over a platform like Adobe Connect or WebEx, and there you can have instant polling with your learners to find out how they're doing and if they're getting it and sort of forcing a response out of all participants who are in the training session and not just allowing for the couple of dominant people in the front row.
All right, let's talk to the young people for a few moments. And I don't mean to suggest that you're not young, but you've been at this for a little
while.
Young
at heart, yeah.
If we had some counsel to share with folks that are up and coming in this profession, would you encourage them to follow that same path, get out there in the workforce, get some experience under your belt, find out what your niche is, what you're really interested in, and then go pursue more formal education in that particular path? Or what would your counsel
be? Yeah, that's a good question. I think some people, I was always jealous when I was a kid of those individuals who knew exactly what they wanted to do and just went and did it. And I think if you're one of those younger people who knows exactly what you want to do, then start pursuing it right away. Don't delay. But, for the rest of us who need a little more time, that's
right.
It's another option. You don't have to have it all figured out, by age 18 or by age 20 or whatever. You can go back. I went back when I was about 40, I believe, and continued my education. So,
but regardless, I mean, there's always going to be, it looks to me like, plenty of opportunity in this arena. Organizations are going to continue to grow, and they're going to continue to need help in the training and development arena. And technology, I mean, that's not going to fall off. We're just going to continue to get exciting new platforms, and don't you think?
Organizations are always going to need to have people supporting them, and they're going to need to show those people how to be effective. So, yeah, I think to a certain extent, they'll always be, an industry. It's just keeping up with the changes that go on in that industry, is the challenge.
Now, how has ASTD impacted your career?
Is
any involvement of these conferences and these kind of, I don't know if you're active locally, but, to have access to all these smart people and all these, experts in the field, I would think could help somebody expand their knowledge base and also resources and
sure,
like
yeah,
that.
Most definitely. And admittedly for me, it's been somewhat of a underutilized, opportunity. I do attend some local events and national as well, but probably not every time I do attend. Like now, I'm blown away.
It seems
walking
like
up
a fire hose of information.
Yeah,
it
sure is. And it's a good opportunity, whether it's annually or every other year or however often. You can make the time to attend these kind of events. It's really a good opportunity, not only to sort of sharpen the skills you already know you have and that, but find out what else is new out there and what you should or could be, gearing towards with future, projects and efforts that you have.
Well, I said this earlier in an earlier conversation that we had today. You guys are a very collaborative bunch. You guys are pretty good about sharing best practices and trying to help each other stay between the ditches. I've noticed that. It's a group of people. You're committed to the profession, I guess I should say. Has that been your experience?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I'd say, probably at our core, most of us who are involved in the profession, at least to a certain extent, are here because we wanted to help people.
Yeah.
Right. So, that we're helping each other isn't a huge surprise. But it's a great, sort of environment and, mass of people by and large. You don't see too many faces of people that aren't smiling here.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your insight and wisdom with us. We certainly appreciate your generosity in that regard. Michael Costello with Thermo Fisher Scientific. It's been a real pleasure, and we got to have you back sometime, man.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.